Hello and welcome to the spiritguides.co.uk network radio. Tonight we have guest psychic surgeon Gary Mannion, who's an indigo child psychic surgeon and the founder of the ABA healing method. Gary's here to speak to us tonight about his experiences as a psychic surgeon and his work for spirit. Okay, well Gary, it's lovely to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
That's okay. Sorry for getting you on at such short notice. It's really wonderful to have you on here, and obviously I know there's quite a few people on our network who follow your work and be quite interested to hear about what you've got to say anyway. So I'll just dive in anyway. If you can just give me a brief introduction really about the work you do. I know you work with a spirit guy called Abraham, so just give us a bit more detail really, how you work in that relationship to your guide.
Okay, so I'm a non-invasive psychic surgeon. Basically when I work, I see hands go into people's bodies and perform an operation. It doesn't hurt. Some people may feel a slight discomfort, but there's no pain involved. And so far we've had some really good results.
Fantastic. So, I mean, how long have you actually seen into people's bodies? I mean, what do you actually see? Do you see it clearly through your inner eye, or do you kind of tune in?
It started kind of seeing and the feeling since I was 18. That's when my guide first came to me and the surgery bit started. The way I kind of see is I kind of say to people, it's in your mind's eye, but it's as clear as kind of me or you.
Yeah,
and as well as seeing, I can also feel. So kind of, I'll feel hands inside the body. We'll feel kind of fluid around organs or joints. You may feel kind of lumps and bumps as well.
Yeah. So did you find when you was roughly around that age, walking down the street, you suddenly see into somebody, or you get like a clear image in your mind and think, crikey, what am I seeing here? What is this all about? Or did you have a feeling that you'd be sort of going that way in your work?
No, well, I'd always done, well, up until that stage, I'd already done quite a bit of psychic and mediumistic work.
Yeah.
So I think I was kind of used to already the kind of tuning in and out phase. So kind of thankfully, I've not had the occasion where I'm walking down the street and all of a sudden I can kind of,
just switched on.
Products, things like that. Thankfully, yeah. it's gruesome enough when you are doing it. And I think kind of it's taken me a bit of a while to get used to kind of seeing and feeling all the different bits and bobs in the body.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with it. The only thing I don't like, which we do treat, but I kind of, it's my least favourite part, would have to be the eyes.
The eyes.
They're just too squidgy for me.
So the eyes are quite special, aren't they? I mean, many people say that they are the windows to the soul. And I think they're a part of the body that constantly renew themselves over and over again. So they're always kind of, they're as new as the day you're born or something like that.
Sure, I do think the eyes are very important kind of part of the body, and as you said, window to the soul is what a lot of people kind of say about them.
Yeah,
but they are squidgy.
So, I mean, when do you go into trance and you're working? You've been through Abraham. Is it your main guy, Abraham, that actually does the psychic surgery?
Abraham, he's the main guy that does the psychic surgery. Now, he has said in trance before that when he works, he's not trained in every part of the body,
right.
But he has a team in spirit, so he's got different doctors and surgeons there, and he's at least got somebody who knows what they're doing. So he kind of, in a sense, implements it all.
Yeah.
But for me personally, so that I don't have to remember 37 different names or anything like that, I refer straight to him, and he kind of takes over and does all the work.
So, I mean, that's probably quite important for anybody that's either quite sceptical to what you do. I take you've got no kind of medical background whatsoever.
I kind of say the most medical training I had is I have first aid at work. But if I'm completely honest, I think the only reason I got the qualification was because I went to every lesson. Because when it came to the exam, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. And I was helped out so much by the teacher, yet I still passed. And I remember there was someone else on the course with me who didn't speak a word of English.
Mm.
And she passed. So that's the most medical kind of knowledge I've had.
So do you normally bring through sort of medical words and, there's huge big words they use in there. But, I mean, do you ever sort of bring that stuff through and feel amazed at what you've said?
Have done. And, as I said, because I've got no medical training, sometimes it's almost a lesson for me trying to learn the new words from him. And thankfully, there have been times when there have been physios or chiropractors or somebody who is kind of medically trained around that I can kind of say, you know, he said this, this, and this, and it may be that my pronunciation is slightly off, and then they can correct me on that. Yeah. But yeah, I think kind of over just under 3 years now we've been doing it, I've learned quite a lot, and it's, you know, I find it quite amazing.
So do you, I mean, do you always work on the same level, or do you sometimes work on, you know, like maybe the aura or the energy of the body? Because I think I understand that generally the body is almost like the last manifestation of an illness. So it's almost like you have to heal it at a mental level or an emotional level almost. And then if we don't do that, then it manifests in the body. So, I mean, in some ways you could probably just go in and heal the source. So rather than putting a plaster on it, you find the real cause.
Yeah, I mean, Abraham's method of treatment is to treat the problem, find out whatever's triggered that off in this lifetime, treat that, and then go back right to the root cause, wherever it's come from. Different levels he says he works on is you've got the physical body, the mental or emotional body, the auric body, etheric body, past life stuff, karmic stuff, world karma, inheritance, genotype, phenotype. So you've got a whole range of stuff, and he'll work on all those different levels to try and get to whatever the root of your problem is, and to kind of hopefully get rid of it once and for all.
So do you feel that do you feel that the guides are actually doing the work on the person, or the work that you do with your guides is almost being a catalyst to help that person heal themselves?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think at times it's kind of, you know, the guides will step in and do what they need to do with the person's permission. However, with Abraham, he's a kind of person, if the root of your problem is emotional, he's not going to remove that emotion for you, because then you're not going to learn the lesson from it.
That's
however,
right.
He thinks that lots of people kind of, they have emotional turmoil for years, because all they're doing is dealing with the surface stuff, when they need to get right down to the roots.
Yeah.
So what he will aim to do is try and bring that to the surface. And for a lot of people, for a few days after treatment, they are quite emotional, and they may not fully understand why they're emotional, but that's the roots of it coming out, and then they kind of generally report afterwards that they're feeling much better.
Yeah, so I guess if, you know, you can sit there and do the healing, but if they don't go away and change their ways, then they're probably going to bring the same reoccurring problems back, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I always say that I would say about 85% of the people we treat are kind of getting what they're looking for. But we get that 15% that kind of, I think in a lot of cases it is kind of personal responsibility. We could easily work on someone's lungs, but if they're going to go out and smoke again, you know, or just do the damage again, whatever is damaged in the first place, then there's nothing you can really do about that.
Yeah.
And sadly, we live in a society where for a lot of people, the only time they're going to get sympathy in their lives is when they're in pain and suffering. So on a kind of subconscious level, they'd rather be in pain and be noticed than not be in pain and not be noticed.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of like a paradox here, because really, I suppose everybody's got the power to heal themselves. But it's almost like they say you need to have a very strong belief to heal yourself. So, you know, like in science, they use a placebo. So one person will be given a real tablet that's supposed to actually cure them. Another person will be given something that's just probably chalk or something like that. And because they believe it's going to heal them, their body, it moves them through the healing process almost, isn't it? But so I suppose really, I mean, as a humanity, I guess that we are moving towards learning how to heal ourselves. And
I think the power of the mind is a very, very big thing. And I mean, obviously, the clients that come in wanting to get better tend to respond quicker.
Yeah.
However, you know, we still get a lot of cases where, you know, people are skeptical or they've tried everything else and they're still getting the results.
Really? Now, that's quite good, yeah.
Part of my research that I'm doing is we're trying to kind of, because a lot of the cases we present, you know, doctors will turn around and say, well, that's placebo. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to kind of get as much kind of documented, detailed information as possible so that we can kind of say to them, well, you know, we've got 100, 1,000 cases here. You can't say they're all placebo, you know. Even if it's a case that kind of I said it's going to be the left rather than the right, or the client didn't know that I said that, but that still responded.
Yeah.
And also, you know, work with kind of young kids and animals. You know, you're not going to get placebos with them, or you're not supposed to.
That's correct, yeah. So I guess you need, like you say, with an animal or a subject that doesn't actually know what you're going to do.
And I mean, also, so with placebo, you know, some of my clients have tried all the kind of allopathic route, so all the medical route. But they've also tried all the alternative route, and you know, they've not got the results until they've had the psychic surgery. And I'm not saying that, you know, psychic surgery is the be and end all, and it's the best thing, and I'm not, but kind of, you know, it's shown some good results, which I think is really great. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the power of the mind is an amazing thing as well. You know, I always say to people, how many times have you pulled a sick day when you're not really, but you worry about it so much that you end up ill?
Yes, that's true. It's true. In fact, most people probably take a sick day when they're not sick, probably because they've been drinking too much the night before, something like that.
Where I've got clients that haven't come to see me because they've had a cold, and it's kind of because you're ill.
I mean, I'm a great believer that, you know, I mean, I just put out an article today about the swine flu, and that, you know, a lot of people buy into fear, and I believe that's kind of dangerous. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you tell people that 120 million people could die of a disease or a virus, and you're going to get a lot of people worrying about it and probably end up making themselves ill over it.
Well, I know a lot of people who are into kind of their conspiracy theories and all that, and kind of they very much have a belief that this is all kind of, a control mechanism. You keep people in fear so that you keep control, so that people remain on drugs, etc., etc.
I can understand that. But I think, you know, under the banner of light workers, spiritual people, many of us don't buy into it, do we?
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of in control of our own minds. We know there's something more. We don't go into fear. And I always say that to people. It's so important not to go into fear, really.
So we're the ones that come across looking mad for doing so.
Exactly. So can we just go into, I mean, I read on your website you're going to be doing some work with research, is it Professor Archie Roy and Patricia Roberts. It'd be quite interesting to hear more about that.
Well, I had some skeptics once say to me that kind of, you know, if you're genuine, go for some testing. So I came across Professor Archie Roy and Patricia Roberts with some of their previous work. Anyone listening who knows Gordon Smith, you know, he did some testing with them, double and triple blinded tests, and, you know, got over 97% accuracy, which no one's been able to floor. They really opened my eyes to something called the Society for Psychical Research, which, you know, up until I met them, I didn't know existed. But the wealth of knowledge and evidence and proof of spiritual activity and paranormal and supernatural is phenomenal. So kind of I linked up with them, and I kind of said, you know, at the time Patricia and Archie were already undergoing some research with another psychic surgeon, so I asked, you know, can I get on board, and thankfully they said yes. So what happened is, whenever I get a case where I can get a testimonial, that goes over to them. If we can get any x-rays, scans, doctor's notes, that will also go to them. Every now and then I'll go up to Glasgow in Scotland, where I will do some clients that they have selected. And again, they will follow them. And again, it's not just weeks or months. This, you know, this is a trial that's looking to go on for years. So far, things are going really well. What we would aim to do now is to present that to things like medical societies and things like that, to see if we can get funding for further testing. As I said, so far, so good.
Have you come across the work of David Hamilton, Dr. David Hamilton?
The name rings a bell.
Yeah, I mean, I recently saw he was at the Mind Body Soul exhibition in Brentwood recently, and I went to one of his talks actually. It was very, very interesting because he was a doctor in the pharmaceutical industry, a scientist, in fact, in the pharmaceutical industry. And he couldn't understand why, you know, he kept seeing the results that people, you know, increasingly being cured through the placebo rather than the actual tablet that was invented to cure them. So, you know, he said to his colleagues, you know, why don't you take this seriously? You know, oh, it's just a placebo, they said. And, you know, he inspired him so much, I believe, that he left then. He's now pursuing his life work on it, really. And he does a method called theta healing, and it's all about visualization, you know, sort of connecting to your like higher self, or going into meditation, visualizing what it is that you want to fix. And amazing results from that.
Yeah, no, I've heard some really good results with things like theta healing.
Yeah.
And I've seen some people that have benefited greatly from it. I think it's great that he's coming from the medical background, and he's actually changed his opinion. I think a lot of people who would try and do that would probably be seen as mad, would be outcast from their work.
Yeah. You know, what's happening now is that there is a lot more, I suppose, scientists and people that have got the kind of, the qualifications almost to reach a broader audience, where in the past, you know, a lot of spiritual psychic people were just classed as woo-woos and we're all nuts, if you like. And but there's a lot of people out there in society that they need the person with credentials, otherwise they can't accept it. But it's almost like it's broadening out now. You know, people are starting to wake up and really listen and take note. And a lot more people are taking interest in it.
Something that Patricia once said to me was when I was doing some work at the filming with the BBC for the documentary that came out, they kind of asked her, well, you know, if there's all this documented research, why don't kind of general science accept paranormal activity? And she said, well, you know, if you're a biologist, you tend to know all about biology, but you tend not to know everything about physics, because that's not science. She said, unless you're a psychical researcher, you tend not to know anything more about it than John Doe, kind of, unless you researched into the subject and actually looked into the evidence. Because, you know, a lot of the skeptics who kind of say there's no evidence, there's no documented evidence, when you actually say to them, well, actually, have you looked at the Society of Psychical Research? Have you looked at this book or that book? They haven't. And it's kind of, you know, so you're basing it all on assumption. And what was very interesting is the BBC caught up with one of these skeptics at one of the Mind Body Soul shows that I did. And they kind of said, you know, have you ever met anyone or have you ever heard of anyone that's ever been harmed or damaged by spiritual healing? And the guy said, no, but I'm sure it happens. So it's kind of, you know, his whole attack was based on an assumption.
The same thing they accuse, I suppose, spiritual workers for, really.
But
you know, I guess, you know, with science, some people are quite boxed in their understanding, aren't they? And I guess you have to step outside that box, really. But it is a brave thing to do. And I think, obviously, if you're somebody that doesn't have credentials to lose in the first place, it's a lot easier to stick your neck out there on the line. So, you know, I take my hat off to any scientist that, you know, walks into this field and, you know, gives us a much better understanding of what's going on. Have you ever done any work with, have you ever found out through your, through hypnosis or regression, whether you had any kind of experience as a doctor in a previous life?
Do you know what? I used to do some past life regression, and I tried it, but kind of it's like I hit a brick wall. Because, I mean, for me, I've got no memory about my life before the age of 13. So
up until
13, I've got nothing. So I've even tried kind of regression for that, and again, come up with blank walls.
So obviously your family have filled you in on certain things and you just don't know.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, yeah, they tell me what I was like as a child, but none of it kind of fits or makes sense to me.
How's that
make you
feel?
I suppose most people would think, oh, well, I feel quite upset missing the first 13 years, but I think maybe because I don't remember it, I don't know what I'm missing out on. And I've had such a fantastic and amazing 8 years since that kind of, I think I've made up for the 13 I might have lost.
Right. Has people ever sort of spoken to you about walk-ins?
Yeah, I mean, there was three theories that we kind of came up with. If you wanted to go with physical, I was put on Ritalin as a child.
Right.
And came off at around the age of 13. So there's a possibility that kind of the Ritalin may have, for some reason, affected my memory, which is why I can't remember. So that's one theory. The spiritual one is, of course, the walk-in theory, where you get two souls swapping places. And then there's also kind of maybe I had a form of trauma or abuse in my life, which caused me to black it out. But that one, from what I can remember from 13 onwards, that wouldn't kind of fit.
Right.
So it would either be walking or whistling.
Yeah. Was you one of the original ADHDs?
I think my parents had thought that kind of the Antichrist had finally come.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because you put down that you're an indigo, and from Doreen Virtue's work, she classes the indigos as the trailblazers, which means that we don't stand for rubbish, or, you know, we want to tear down old systems, and so therefore we have to be the trailblazers.
I am a non-conformer. I mean, one thing I think that's driven me with that is age, because, you know, when I first got into the psychic thing from 13 onwards, because I was under 18, no one would kind of touch me. And there's a lot of theory that kind of, you know, when you're younger, you shouldn't kind of get too involved in it because it can affect, you know, because you're going through your hormone changes and things like that. And my argument with that is, you know, that's fine. If you're not kind of psychic, that's fine. Don't tap into it till you're at mature age. However, you get a lot of kids like the Indigos now who are naturally tuned in. You know, if you've got child seeing spirits and stuff, to turn around and say, do you know what? We'll leave it until you turn 18. I think that personally can do a lot of damage. And in my opinion, I think a lot of these kids now, which are hearing voices, and, you know, if you look in America, you know, these kids going into school and killing each other because the voices tell them to do so. Yeah. I think a lot of times, maybe a bit of psychic development, even things like meditation and stuff, could have gone a long way to helping them.
Yeah. I mean, there's a good friend of mine. She's got a little boy. He's 3 years of age. And he's not been... I don't think he's been diagnosed with autism, but it's like a similar condition. But he doesn't have the lack of social awareness. But he doesn't speak. He's 3 years of age. He doesn't speak yet. But he's got this wonderful way about him where he actually seeks out people that need help. And he walks up to them and he just looks at them, smiles at them, just looks into their eyes, and he just grabs their hands and he just caresses their hands, he holds them. It's the most amazing sight, and he just walks around to all these different people. And he's only three, and he's like an angel in disguise. And I often wonder, who is he, you know?
That I would now class as more the crystal child.
Yes.
Because from my personal experience, the crystal children tend to be the ones that take longer to develop kind of physically. They're more so aware of their surroundings that they only really start speaking as and when they feel they need to.
Yes. Well, the thing is, I guess you could say that they encompass so much more consciousness and such a higher energy that really we're not quite ready for them yet. So they're kind of finding it hard, aren't they?
And they are amazing. And as you said, you know, they seek out the ones that need the help, need the healing, and you know, he's not talking, but yet he's achieving what he wants to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And I've no doubt that he's probably healing as well. Because he seems, I mean, with me, I mean, I suffer quite a lot with sore throats. And if I eat the wrong foods, I lose my voice. And he came over to me and he held my hand. And he just put his hand up to my throat and stroked my throat. And I just couldn't believe it.
So now, from an energy point of view, someone would say that could be a problem with communication.
Exactly.
Or maybe too much.
This is the reason why I'm doing these shows. It's about time. Yeah.
Okay. But no, they know what they're doing. They are amazing.
They are indeed. I mean, just something I just wanted to touch on. Obviously, there is a lot of talk at the moment, obviously, with we are going through an awakening. Now, some people think it's a fast process. Some people think it's slow. From a rational mindset, it's easy to see that it is a slow process, more and more people are waking up, that kind of thing. And then there's the other side where it's kind of the light switch goes like that, and then we all disappear onto a different plane of reality, which I think could also be symbolic, because I think sometimes consciousness has to symbolise it into something. Although I'm quite excited either way, really, to be honest with you. I mean, what's your views on the subject?
The whole kind of ascension subject. Well, my theory, I can only go really by what Abraham tells me, and I trust Abraham 100%, so kind of, you know, if he says jump, I say how high. So his theory on ascension, and if he's wrong, I'll happily eat my hat. His theory, as he's kind of said in trance, I know a lot of people think they're going to wake up on this new planet and be able to fly around on clouds and all that kind of stuff. His theory is kind of, we as a human race can't take care of this planet. Why would spirit give us another one to destroy? He does think it's a time of change, but he kind of, and also he says, you know, if you look back to your Atlantean times, we could do so much more when we were in places like Atlantis. But even then we didn't kind of ascend to another planet. So why would we when we're less than what we were? He does think it's a time of change, but he thinks that process has already started. And kind of if you look at our financial markets, the way the government is at the moment, it's all kind of, you know, whenever people come and they're worried about it, I say to them, you know, spiritualists have been predicting this for years. It's happening now.
Yeah.
You know, so don't worry. Just see it through, kind of. So he does think it's all happening now. I do think that with the Indigos and stuff, they'll start to bring in through abilities that haven't been seen for a long time or haven't been on this planet before. But even that's going to take years and years to develop and to understand. I don't think it's just going to happen overnight.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, I agree with what you're saying there anyway. I mean, my understanding of ascension is not to appear on a different planet. It is kind of what you're saying there. I believe the ascension is an Earth ascension. But I guess there's many schools of thought, whether it's a quick process or a slow process. And to be honest with you, if you're a rational thinker, it's easy to think it's going to be slow. And so, you know, but when you think about it, really, you think what we've achieved in the last, probably last 10 years is pretty quick, really. And in terms of spirit...
Look how society as a whole has progressed. I mean, if you look in our history, there's a 1,000-year period where man didn't progress at all.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, in the last 10, 20 years, we've gone, we've done amazing things. And, you know, loads of people now say that time is speeding up and things are getting quicker. And, you know, as a whole planet, our consciousness is much, much higher. A lot more people are involved in this and things are changing. And, you know, the medical systems are starting to change. I've got a friend who's an osteopath. And he gets, you know, the medical kind of magazine that comes out every week or month. And he was even saying that kind of it's now been decided because of the NHS's debt that people who are suffering with muscle or skeletal problems will be sent to osteopaths because they are the ones who are qualified in that kind of field rather than being put on pain medication for the rest of their lives. You know, they're now going to go to people who can actually deal with those muscles and skeletal. So that's changing. The drug companies will start being...
That's really good. I mean, tonight I read in the newspapers, basically London, I think the London, I'm trying to think what it was now, they're going to, trying to get people back to work, that's what it was. It was a subject about getting people back to work. So they're actually going to send people to Life Coach. So rather than having all these people sitting around doing nothing, they want to get more motivated by sending them to Life Coaches. And the thing is, Life Coaches are generally very spiritual people. And they're not just Life Coaches, inspirational leaders and talkers. They've got a wide, broad spectrum of spiritual understanding and knowledge. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, my main concern, my only kind of concern with Ascension, whatever happens, is as long as I go up and not down, I'm happy.
Well, no, I agree with you. I think it is already happening. We're already in it right now. And we're basically the young children being born with these special abilities, the indigo.
But even kind of the schooling system, you know, that was very, in a sense, left brain thinking, very logical, where I think a lot of the kids now are more right brain kind of logic.
Yes, so, yeah, cool. It's kind of balancing the both, really. I think the school system's still got some way to go, though.
It's slowly changing. I mean, you've got things like Montessori schools and stuff, which are really kind of excelling in their area and are doing great work for things like Indigo Kids and Crystal Kids. But the school system, you know, with teachers I've spoken to and schools that, you know, that I've spoken to and stuff, we've had, you know, they're making some good changes, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's wonderful. I mean, I just watched a video from actually Abraham again through the trance mediumship of...
Esther and Jerry Hicks?
That's the one, yes. And they did a seminar where they actually asked questions and had questions and answers regarding autism. And one guy's son is autistic. And basically Abraham said that the most wonderful gift about these children is that they will not change for anybody. You cannot mould them, you cannot sculpt them, you cannot make them do anything other than who they truly are. So,
and they're honest.
You can't... Basically, the schools and the system has no choice but to change around them because they will not change for anybody. Where most people have got sort of... They're kind of conscious, they get embarrassed, they kind of want to fit in, they want to have a friend. But quite a lot of autistic children, they're like, they don't care. They kind of don't have that social...
It's almost like the guru philosophy. You know, a guru doesn't go looking for his students. He meditates under a tree and the students come to him.
Yeah, I guess so. It's kind of like that, really. I guess they're going to be a catalyst to force change in the world. Rather than most of us, we will conform at the end of the day, won't we? We won't kick up too much of a fuss. I guess the trailblazers being the indigos, we've tried, I guess, but it hasn't always worked. And with these kids, they have to change the system. And I think the statistics are something like either 100 or 150 to 1 now being diagnosed with autism. That's a large number of kids. And so that's going to have a huge impact.
In America, over 50% of the kids have ADHD
That's right. So I think, you know, this is all evidence, really. If you're looking for it, that is the evidence for the ascension. And we are already in it. And again, you know, the work that you're doing, the work that Medium's doing, because I see Medium's on platform as the front line. They're out there talking to audiences, bringing through messages and evidence of spirit. And those people are going along. And obviously, you're going to get those that probably walk away from it and think it's a load of rubbish. But you're going to get those who are there and think, wow, I want to seek more now. I want to sort of learn more about spiritual ways, get more knowledge, that kind of thing. And it starts them on a pathway of discovery.
Yeah, no, totally. And I totally agree with that, and that, you know, I think our system's changing dramatically, and within a few years we will have that kind of ascension in that sense.
Yeah. So just backtracking now, sorry, I've obviously digressed quite a bit there. What's the? I just want to talk about the ABA healing method.
Oh, the ABA healing. ABA healing is it basically stands for Abraham's Body Energy Healing. The basis behind that was Abraham kind of thought when somebody goes to learn Reiki. They open themselves up and they attune themselves to that form of energy. But he thinks, you know, that's only one form of energy. So his theory was, well, if we open you up to every form of healing energy, and then whatever you've got to work with can come through. Because his theory is kind of, you know, if you've got the ability to do psychic surgery, unless you know how to work with that energy and tap into that energy, you can have it your whole life, but you're never going to work with it. But if you're opened up to that and then kind of taught how to harness that, and how to work with that, then yeah, you could go on to do psychic surgery. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who does the course is going to do psychic surgery. Some people will do color healing, some will do massage, some will do, you know, spiritual healing, whatever kind of is the best they can do. But the course is set to it gives you an overall lay so that anyone could do the course, but it also kind of looks to tailor make the way you work.
Yeah, so have you had quite a good success rate with that, with students?
We, at the moment, I think we've got about just over 100 students that are pretty much qualified now. We're just sorting out the rest of the insurance, just finalising everything. We've got a few centres open, which is great. And then I'm going to look to kind of start teaching some more students and teach some students to teach. So yeah, it's picking up very quickly. We've got loads of interest for it, which is great.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of kind of getting it all in the works and getting it done.
So you must be an extremely busy man at the moment, Gary. So how do you fill it all in?
It's an eight days a week schedule. But you know, I do love the work I do. I'd have to do it.
Yeah.
I think you just get used to it, really.
Yeah.
And I am finding the balance between a social life and a work life, and I'm getting there slowly but surely.
I think in the beginning we sort of jump into this work with both feet, don't we? And it sort of takes up our life quite a bit.
Yeah, I certainly hit the ground running.
Yeah. So does the psychic abilities and what you do, does it run in your family, or are you the only person in your family that has this?
Apparently it doesn't. Then I also hear that apparently my grandmother used to do tea leaf reading. But then I'm told on the other hand that no, it doesn't run in the family and I'm the first.
Yeah.
So I don't know, to be completely honest, but yeah. I don't think so.
So did you do platform work as well for a while?
I didn't actually. I'm more of a, if I'm going to do mediumship, I'm more of a kind of one-to-one. And that can also be because kind of, I'd say things on platform you're not really supposed to say. I'm a little too honest. But I prefer more one-to-one. The only time I'll really do kind of more platform now, well, the only time I really do readings now is when I'm teaching courses.
Yeah. So do you travel all over the UK, or, I mean, is it...
All over the UK, all over the world.
Really? All over the world?
Where have we done? We did South Africa. That's a lovely country. Australia. Dubai. Germany. We have done other places, just don't think where. And we've got some more lined up.
Yep.
Dubai, if I haven't said that one.
So no, it's also, one of, I was reading your testimony, you've actually got a doctor on there as well.
Dr.
Burkhard of Frankfurt, Germany, with a pain in his right foot. So what kind of doctor was he?
He's a physicist.
A physicist?
Yes.
Fantastic.
And what was sad is, did you see the BBC documentary that came out?
I apologise, I didn't actually see it, Gary.
But I
read the views on the website. I understand that... they might not have been as accommodating as you had liked.
Well, I mean, they put a comment in there where they said, Gary never provided us with any medical doctors and scientists.
Right.
Now, we gave them four people which they interviewed for the programme, When I was in Germany, they actually interviewed Burkhard, and it's such a shame they didn't use his interview because they were trying to devise this test to test, you know, the healing out, and they were going to do something on plants. And the guy actually said, you know, yeah, we can do plants because it's going to go either way with plants. Plants are pretty straightforward. Mm. And he kind of said, actually, let me stop you straight there. There's thousands of things we don't understand and know about plants. And he gave such a detailed explanation about statistics, because his job really is statistics. Mm. So he gave loads of statistics about psychic work, paranormal work, placebo, and, you know, really amazing kind of way he kind of did it. He knows all his stuff. And sadly, they didn't use it. But yeah, he's a physicist.
That's a real shame, isn't it? I mean, obviously, there's a conspiracy theory, and, you know, there is a school of thought. And, you know, sometimes I agree with it, because it's almost like the media or the powers that be do not want us to know about this. You know, it's probably not in their favour.
Someone said to me, I don't know how kind of true it is, but somebody said to me that Ofcom rules that you're not really allowed to end a programme like that positively. In the sense that I think you can be seen to adore something which is not, or which not has been scientifically proven.
Yes, I guess, and they've got to get a balance, haven't they? They've got to have a sceptic and somebody who's for that as well. So that's interesting with Dr. Burkheim, the physicist.
Yeah, thankfully he was willing to come forward and talk, and
yeah.
He gave a lovely testimonial.
There's some brilliant work by a guy called Clive Baxter. Have you heard of him? I mean, he's a doctor as well.
The name does ring a bell.
Clive Baxter. He basically did an experiment with plants, and
yes.
He wanted to find. Excuse me. Yeah, so he wanted to find out if he could pick up an emotional response from a plant. So he had like a lie detector test. You know that.
You know exactly, didn't you?
Yeah. So he connected it to the plant, and then he was trying to, I don't know, pretend that he was going to harm the plant, but pretending to harm the plant didn't do anything. It's almost like the plant knew he was pretending. So then he went out of the room, picked up a lighter, came back in the room, and all of a sudden the plant, the lie detector test just went completely crazy. Like the plant knew that he was about to set fire to the leaves. And so it's picking up his true intent.
I know Dr. Burkhard, he was kind of looking into that, and I think he was going to try and do some experiments along those lines as well.
Yeah. But I think stuff like that's fantastic. And the other one he did, but he actually he took cells from somebody, put them in a petri dish, did a similar test with the lie detector test, and then sent someone out on a 30-mile journey across the states. And every time the person reacted to a situation emotionally, whether it be like frustration, anger, that kind of thing, the cells in the dish responded immediately, exactly the same time. So I mean, it kind of proves there's no time or space.
No, I mean, I heard that they did experiments on humans where they found that humans, if they were going to be hit from, say, behind or something, so they didn't consciously know they were about to be hit, the body would still tense beforehand.
Yeah.
So the body knew before the brain knew that something was going to happen. There's been loads of experiments. And again, when skeptics say, oh, there's no evidence, things like that, they tend not to know anything about these experiments and detail that's actually gone into it.
Yeah. But I think we can end up wasting so much energy worrying about them, can't we? But I mean, obviously, the line of work you're in is you're kind of front line, and you know, unfortunately.
I think the other problem is kind of if a believer says anything that's kind of slightly misquoted or something by accident, you know, the skeptics are on them. But a lot of times when you see these kind of the top skeptics on TV, you know, the top scientists that are known for their skepticism, when they make mistakes, which they do. Not everyone looks into what they've kind of said and actually looked up how credible what they're saying, if it's true or not.
Yeah.
But kind of the sad thing with the media is if you end a program with the scientists saying, yeah, no, it's not true, then that's the opinion you're going to go away with, regardless of what he said is true or not.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, with the younger ones coming through, we will reach a pivotal point, I guess, where a lot more people will be open to this. So I think it'll make things a lot easier. And I guess in a way, we're probably the way showers, you know, creating a much smoother path for those who are going to sort of walk the path behind us, if you know what I mean. So, you know, the foot soldiers are the brave ones, really, aren't they?
Yeah. I agree with
that. No, it's hard work. It's very, very rewarding, isn't it, at the end of the day. And I think...
You can't even put it in words, you know.
No.
I get it.
That's it.
To see someone who does feel better after they've been in a lot of pain.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything else that you want to share? I mean, I'll kind of wrap it up soon anyway. Is there anything else that you want to share that you think our listeners would be interested in hearing about?
I don't know. Feel free to email me your questions.
Coming out?
book. Eventually, I've been asked to write a few books, but it's just, again, it's just finding the time. I'm not one of these people that kind of would have someone else write a book for me and I put my name to it. If I'm going to write something, it's got to come from me.
So no more TV work for a while?
Well, there's potentially some stuff in the works. I can't say too much about it because we had a discussion with one company and they nicked the idea.
Right.
So I can't say too much about it, but hopefully, yeah, there's some more stuff coming up which will show more of the detailed information and the more documented evidence,
yep.
Which would be really good. And I'd also like to do some more work with kids, maybe some TV work linked there as well.
So, I mean, did you get good feedback from the show in general? I mean, it must have avalanched your inbox.
Well, I would say, I mean, I'm getting about, I think it's about 300 to 400 emails a day at the moment. I have to say, for the program, for the BBC, considering the programs they've done in the past, the show they did on me wasn't actually that bad. You know, and then, I mean, we had a case of Alzheimer's where they tried to explain away, you know, maybe he didn't have Alzheimer's. Anyone who's into the spiritual movement isn't going to expect that from the doctors. It's the get-out clause.
Yeah.
My argument there would be, isn't that malpractice? Wrong diagnosis. If you've had him on these medications and stuff for years, the doctor said maybe he should have further testing. Mm. He's been on these tablets for years. It should have been further testing already done. But no, I've had some amazing response. Got a lot of work lined up, which is great. We're treating a lot of people, which is great. It's just trying to fit it all in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Gary. You've been a wonderful guest.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful speaking to you. And good luck with your work. And well, hopefully we'll speak again. We'll catch up soon.
Lovely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.